My subject this evening is simply entitled The Conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And we want to read some verses at the beginning of this wonderful chapter, Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 6. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for this tremendous conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And we thank thee, Lord, what you've done for Saul of Tarsus, you can do for those in this meeting tonight who are sinners on their way to a Christless eternity. Oh God, we pray tonight that through thy word that you would speak to hearts. We pray for those here this evening who refuse to pray for themselves. Oh God, that you would speak to their hearts and draw them to the foot of the cross. We thank thee, Lord, that you're still able to save the souls of men. We thank thee, Lord, that you're still willing to reach down and pluck brands from the burning. And oh God, we pray tonight that in wrath you would remember mercy. And even this evening, that you would, by your grace, save some precious soul in this meeting. Oh God, to this end, I pray that you would fill us with your gracious Holy Spirit. Our Lord, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a word in season, a word for the sinner's heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. No matter how often I read about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, I never cease to be amazed at the transformation that took place in his life on the Damascus Road. Such was the change in Saul's life after he was saved that you would think that you were reading about a completely different man. Of course, in one respect, you are looking and reading at a different, concerning a different man, because true conversion changes the sinner absolutely and completely. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And the day Saul of Tarsus was saved, he became a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And his life was so transformed that even those who knew him were astounded at the transformation that was evident in his life. Everything in the life of Saul of Tarsus changed the moment he was saved by the grace of God. His attitude changed, his desires changed, his ambitions changed, his outlook on life changed, and his allegiances changed. And friend, if you're not saved in this service tonight, such a transformation can take place in your life even before this meeting goes out into eternity. And I pray that for those of you who are not saved, that the Lord will speak to your heart and even in this service tonight will reveal unto you your great need of God's wonderful salvation. Very simply this evening, I want us to consider how this transformation took place in Saul's life. And in order to do that, I want you to look at Saul's life before he was converted, then look at his conversion, and then we're going to observe Saul's life after he was converted. My friend, if you're not converted tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, then I want you to listen very carefully, because what happened to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road can happen to you. Indeed, it must happen to you if you're ever going to enter heaven, if you're ever going to escape hell, if you're ever going to have any hope for the great eternity. Now, first of all, I want you to notice with me, very simply, the sinner he was. Was there ever such a sinner as Saul of Tarsus? You know, he described himself after his conversion as the chief of sinners. And there's no doubt that he was a great sinner. Saul of Tarsus was a sinner by nature, because he was born in sin. Like all men, he was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Indeed, the moment he was conceived in his mother's womb, he received a sinful nature which condemned him as a sinner before God. Of course, not only was he a sinner by nature, but Saul of Tarsus was a sinner by practice. In other words, the sinful nature he had been born with manifested itself in sinful actions. Not only was his heart and mind contaminated with sin, but the actions of his hands and the very words of his mouth were also sinful. But you know, also Saul of Tarsus was a sinner who had no fear of God. I say this because Saul openly persecuted the church of God. Indeed, he openly persecuted the church of Christ. Was this not the charge that the Son of God lay before Saul on the Damascus Road? Look at verses 4 and 5 of Acts chapter 9. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And even after Saul was saved, he testified of his persecution of the church in his sinful days. Over there in Acts chapter 26 and verses 9 to 11, when Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, here's what Paul said concerning his unsaved days. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I give my voice against them, and I punish them oft in every synagogue, and compel them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. You see, before Saul was converted, when he was yet in his sins, he had no God consciousness. He had no fear of God, no fear of meeting God in judgment. And what a sinner he was. Is it any wonder that he described himself as the chief of sinners? My friend, I wonder tonight, as we are gathered in this gospel meeting, do you realize the sinner that you are? The Bible describes us all, but the Bible describes you as a sinner by nature, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But not only does the Bible describe you as a sinner by nature, but the Bible describes you as a sinner by practice, because every day we sin in thought and word and deed. And you're no different than anyone else. The Bible clearly teaches that all men who are born into this world are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But I wonder, can it be said of you, as it was said of Saul of Tarsus, that you're a sinner who has no fear of God, no fear of meeting God in your sin? Remember this. The Bible says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The sad reality in this 21st century is this, that the sinner has no fear of God, no fear of meeting God. Sinners live today as if there is no God. But there is a God of truth, a God of righteousness, a God of justice, a God that someday you will stand before. Over in the book of Revelation and the chapter 20, we read about the great day of judgment. And of course, the book of Revelation is speaking about future events. And in Revelation chapter 20, we have recorded the day when the sinner will stand before God. When you will stand before God. John could write these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 12 of Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now what a day that will be, my friend, when you stand before God and are judged for your sin. If you refuse to come to Christ now, if you refuse to repent your sin now, if you refuse to come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior now, then someday the sin that you've been born with and the sin that you've practiced and the sin that you've lived in, someday you will stand before God and be judged for it. That's what the Bible teaches clearly. Oh, the sinner he was. He was condemned already. A sinner of the deepest dye, by nature and by practice and by action. He was a sinner who had no fear of God. Oh, my friend, you've got to see your sinnership before God tonight. If you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to receive mercy, if you're ever going to be born again of the Spirit of God, you must see yourself as God sees you, a sinner before Him. But turn back again to Acts chapter 9. I want you to notice, secondly, not only the sinner he was, but I want you to notice the Savior he met. As Paul made his way down the Damascus Road to arrest the Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem, he met the Savior. You know, when you take a look at verse 5, we read these words. And he said, that was Saul of Tarsus, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Now there's much that we could say about this Savior that Saul of Tarsus met on the road to Damascus. But let me point out just four things very, very briefly. First of all, the Savior that Saul met was sovereign. I am Jesus. The word Jesus, of course, means Savior. But you'll notice here that the Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as the I am, the great I am. I am Jesus. In other words, I am the Savior. I am the only Savior. I am the God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ is, of course, the great I am. This name describes the deity of Christ. Christ is the Sovereign One, the Holy One of Israel. There's a wonderful portion of Scripture over in Isaiah chapter 43. And the verse 11, we read these words concerning Jehovah. I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. Men and women, there's only one Savior. And that is the God of heaven. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great I am. He is the great Savior. There's only one Redeemer. And that Redeemer and that Savior is Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. This is the one that Saul of Tarsus met on the Damascus Road. Notice something else about this Savior. The Savior that Saul met was merciful. I wonder, did you notice that? The Lord Jesus Christ was merciful to Saul of Tarsus in that he revealed to Saul that he was a sinner. You see, the Lord Jesus here is pointing out to Saul of Tarsus his sin. The Lord could have cut Saul off there and then for his sin. The Savior could have cast him immediately into the lost eternity because of his sin. But instead of judgment falling upon Saul, the Lord shows mercy towards him by revealing to him his true state before God. Let's read verses 4 and 5 again, and let us see this. And he fell to the earth, that was Saul, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Here's the Lord speaking to Saul and revealing to Saul his sin. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Here we have the Lord being merciful to Saul of Tarsus. You know, every time God speaks to sinners and reveals unto them their sin, he's being merciful to them. Why does God reveal to sinners their sin? So that they might repent. So that they might repent. And of course, that was the purpose for the Lord coming and speaking to Paul on this occasion. He wanted this man to repent of his sin, to turn away from his sin. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, God wants you to know that you're a sinner. God's word, as we have found out, declares that you're a sinner. But the reason why the Lord wants you to know that you're a sinner is so that you might repent and turn away from your sin. And in that we see the mercy of God. The Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. Or the mercy of God leadeth us to repentance. I know we live in this 21st century, and of course men and women don't like to be told that they're sinners. They don't like to be reminded about their sin. And they think that the preacher is being awful when he preaches and tells them that they're sinners. But my friend, the preacher is only relating what the Word of God teaches, what the Word of God declares. But the point I want you to learn tonight is this, that the reason why the Lord comes and reveals to us our spiritual state before him is because he wants to show us mercy. And he wants to show us grace. And he wants us to turn away from our sin, that our sins might be forgiven, and that we might be redeemed for time and for eternity. You know, this mercy can be seen in all of the conversions in the Bible. But it can be seen, especially, I believe, not only in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, but it can be seen in the conversion of the woman of Samaria. Just turn over to Luke's, to John's Gospel, chapter 4, for a moment. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ goes down to Samaria. And the reason, of course, he goes down to Samaria is because he wants to save the woman of Samaria. And this woman was a very sinful woman, for she was an adulteress. And yet, the Lord loved this woman. He didn't love her sin, but he loved her, and he wanted to save her, and he wanted to forgive her. And he did save her, and he did forgive her. But before she found forgiveness, the Lord revealed to her her sin. Because we read in John 4 and verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. What's the Savior doing here? He's revealing to this woman that she is a sinner. He's revealing to this woman that she has broken God's law and trampled under God's commandments. And he wants the woman to see that. Because until the woman sees that she has broken God's law and trampled under his commandments, then She will never see herself as God sees her. And she will never turn away from her sin and repent her sin. And that's what the Savior is doing in Acts chapter 9 when he comes to speak to Saul of Tarsus. He's revealing to Saul of Tarsus that he's the sinner. Oh, I pray tonight that God the Holy Spirit through his word would reveal to you that you're a sinner. Because my friend, until you see yourself as God sees you, you will never repent. You will never turn from your sin. You will never cry out unto him for mercy. You will never be saved. You will never be prepared for heaven. Oh, you can see the mercy of Christ here to Saul of Tarsus. Oh, the Savior that Saul met was the Sovereign, the Great I Am, the only Savior. The Savior that Saul met was a merciful Savior. Notice something else. The Savior that Saul met was forgiving. You see, Saul of Tarsus that day on the Damascus Road found forgiveness for his sins. Saul was pardoned for his iniquities. Look at verse 6. I believe we can pinpoint Saul's conversion to verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There we have Saul of Tarsus yielding to the word of God and to the will of God. I believe there we have Saul of Tarsus repenting of his sin and turning and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Redeemer. The Lord forgive him. There's no greater need than to have your sins forgiven, and there's no greater blessing than to have your sins forgiven. My friend, your greatest need tonight is to find forgiveness for your sins, because your sins are bringing you down to hell. Your sins are bringing you down to a lost eternity. It's your sins that has separated you from God. It's your sins that will keep you out of heaven. And you need to have your sins forgiven tonight. The Lord Jesus came into this world in order to die on the cross so that sinners could have their sins forgiven. And thank God, the Bible tells us that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. There's no sweeter story in the whole of the Bible than the story of the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life a ransom for the many. Because on the cross he paid the price and he shed his precious blood in order to redeem the souls of the lost. When the Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished," upon Calvary's cross, thank God he made it possible for you and I to find forgiveness for our sins. Oh, I wonder tonight, can I ask you a question? Is your sins forgiven? Do you know cleansing from your sins? You know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And thank God there's cleansing tonight in the precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus at cleansing will receive. There's a wonderful story in Luke chapter 7. Again, about a sinful woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a woman of the streets. She was a sinner. Indeed, verse 39 tells us that she was a sinner. It says at the end of that verse, "For she is a sinner." She is a sinner. And everyone knew that she was a sinner. And all those that were gathered in the Pharisee's house that day knew she was a sinner. And the Lord Jesus knew that she was a sinner. And you know, the greatest truth of all was this, that she herself knew that she was a sinner. You know, that's the half the battle when you come to deal with someone and lead them to the Lord, convincing them that they're sinners. Because you know, within the heart of man, there's this self-righteousness. And maybe there's someone here tonight. You're not saved, but you just don't think that you're too bad. And you certainly don't look upon yourself as a sinner deserving hell and judgment to come. My friend, that's exactly where you are tonight if you're not saved. That's exactly where you are this evening if you're found here without the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. But here's the message. The message is this, that the Lord Jesus died for sinners. That the Lord Jesus will forgive sinners if they call upon Him. And here in Luke 7, this sinful woman, just like the other woman that we considered in John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria, she too received forgiveness for her sins. Look what it says in verse 47. Let me read you these tremendous words. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And we read there in verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, here is another example in the Bible where a sinful woman received forgiveness for her sins. And that's what happened. That's what's happening here in Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus is being converted. He's turning from his sins. He's confessing his sins. He's repenting his sins. And he's looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. And the Lord saves him here and redeems him for time and for eternity. Oh, this is the Savior that Saul met. And you can meet the Savior tonight. You can be saved tonight. You can have your sins forgiven tonight. Oh, this Savior that Saul met was the sovereign. And this Savior that Saul met, praise God, he was merciful. And this Savior that Saul met, he was forgiving. Let me tell you something else about this Savior. This Savior that Saul met was a living Savior. On the road to Damascus, Paul was not just hearing about this Savior. He was meeting with this Savior. Meeting with this Savior. Look what it says there in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The Lord is speaking to Saul personally, and he's speaking to Saul directly from heaven. Well, this is the same Jesus that was crucified on the cross. This is the same Savior that was put into the tomb. But this is the same Savior that rose again. And the same Savior that ascended up into heaven. And now, as he comes to deal with Saul of Tarsus, he speaks to Saul of Tarsus from heaven. And he cries out, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am alive forevermore. Listen, the Savior that we present to you tonight, he's not on the cross and he's not in the tomb. He has risen again. Thank God on the third day he rose triumphantly over the grave. And he's alive. He's really alive. And he wants to be your Savior, your personal Savior. My friend, if salvation is anything, it's personal. You need to come to Christ personally. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Would you come tonight? Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. And I tell you, this Savior that spoke to Saul of Tarsus is the same Savior that wants to save you this evening. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's highly exalted. And He's merciful. And He's gracious. And He's forgiving. And He will forgive you your sins on the basis of Calvary and the precious blood that He shed upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. And thank God, He will save you not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. Would you not like to know this Savior? Would you not like to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? The sinner He was. The Savior He met. But notice thirdly and lastly, the servant He became. You see, in verse 6, We have his conversion. And we can see the change that took place. Look at the end of the verse. We'll read all the verse again. And he, trembling and astonished, says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There's his conversion. There's the change. There's the transformation. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, and of course Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul, the great apostle, you will know that he became one of the greatest servants of God that ever lived. He became a humble servant. He became a willing servant. He became an obedient servant. He became a faithful servant. He became a fruitful servant. Take a look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. After Saul went into Damascus, he was there for a number of days, and the Lord sent a man by the name of Ananias to speak to Saul. Ananias was a bit apprehensive about going because of Saul's reputation. But here's what the Lord said to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, speaking about Saul of Tarsus, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And that's exactly what he did. He became a missionary and a preacher and an evangelist. He saw many won for Christ. He saw many churches planted. He went on three great missionary journeys. And you can read about those great missionary journeys in the book of Acts. And you can read about how the Lord used them in the rest of the book of Acts. Oh, the servant he became. My friend, tonight you're a sinner. A sinner condemned and on your road to a lost eternity. But let me say this evening, you can become a servant of God. You can become a saint of God. But you must yield your life to Christ. You must take the sinner's place. That's what Saul of Tarsus is doing in verse 6. He's taking the sinner's place. At the beginning of Acts 9, he's doing his own thing, going his own way. But in verse 6, now the change, now the transformation. Now he wants to go God's way. He wants to do the will of God. And my friend, the first step in becoming a servant of God, the first step becoming a saint of God, is turning and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. Recognizing that you're the sinner. Recognizing that only Christ can save you. And falling down before Him and crying unto Him for mercy. You must cry like Paul, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I'm giving my life into your hands. I'm yielding my life to you. That's what Saul is doing in verse 6. And that's how his life was transformed and changed. And that's how he became a servant of God. That's how he became a saint of God. By yielding his life to the will of God. What is the will of God for your life, sinner? The will of God for your life is for you to admit that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. And that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. The will of God for your life is turning from your sin, repenting of your sin, and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the will of God for your life. That's the will of God for your life. At this very moment, before you accomplish anything else, before you do anything else, before you go anywhere else, you must yield your life to Christ. In salvation. Paul became this servant after he trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. Paul became this servant after he turned from his sin. Paul became this servant after he found out who Jesus Christ was. Paul became this servant after he obeyed the Word of God. Saul of Tarsus, you'll notice in verses 5 and 6, he asked two questions. Did you notice that? In verse 5, he asked the question, Who art thou, Lord? And then he got the answer. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then he asked the question, what wilt thou have me to do? As soon as Saul got an answer to these two questions, he yielded his life to Christ and he became a servant of God. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? My friend, you want to be saved tonight? Well, find out who Jesus Christ is. And then after you've found out who Jesus Christ is, obey him and live your life for him. Who is he? He's the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am Jesus. I am the sovereign one. I am the merciful one. I am the forgiving one. I am the resurrected one. I am the only Redeemer, Paul. That's who I am. And after he found out who the Lord was, then he said, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the Savior. I believe that I'm the sinner. I believe that you've died for me. I believe that you are the resurrected Christ. Now, what do you want me to do? What does the Lord want you to do tonight? He wants you to obey his word, yield to him, turn to him in salvation, and then serve him the rest of your life. That's what he wants you to do. Oh, sinner, would you yield your life to Christ tonight? You've only one life, it'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. Oh, what a conversion. What a transformation that takes place in Saul of Tarsus' life. The sinner he was, the Savior he met, the servant he became. My friend, he would never have become the servant. He would never have become the saint if he had not bowed the knee in repentance and admitted and confessed that he was the sinner. If you want to become a saint of God, a servant of the King, then you must take the sinner's place, acknowledging that you're the sinner before God. Like the publican in the temple, you need to cry tonight, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. You need God's mercy. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee tonight for the precious word of God. Oh God, we thank thee for the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and what a tremendous conversion it is. And yet, Lord, every conversion is tremendous. Every time a soul is saved, it's a miracle. Every time someone turns from their sin and trusts Christ as their Redeemer, transformation takes place. They become new creatures in Christ Jesus. No, God, we pray tonight, even in this service, that someone here might turn afresh to the Lord, confessing their sins to him, and crying out, what wilt thou have me to do? We thank thee, Lord, for the person and work of Jesus Christ, and we thank thee that the Lord Jesus has died and risen again. And because he has died and risen again, there's salvation for the souls of men. Oh God, we thank thee that the sinner can find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner can make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner can be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, help the unconverted tonight to be wise and seek the Lord, even this night. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. 220.